Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we help you transform your business, career, or life. I've often been caught jokingly saying business would be fun if you didn't have to deal with people. Now, think about that for a second, right? Maybe some days I think it's true. Maybe some days I don't. Well, for example, how about when you're dealing with someone who's extremely needy, right? And they're occupying all your time. They might be a person who's concerned about something, though. Maybe their job, maybe a decision was made, or maybe basically if they have the skills or not. Needing more attention than maybe other people at certain point in times. Or maybe it's the end of the day and you get that drop by. You know, that drop by comes in your office. They were in a meeting that day and you talked about all sorts of stuff, but they didn't say a word. They were thinking all day long about what was said and they needed to finish the conversation. So they show up in your office when you're putting your coat on, getting ready to go home, right? Timing for you, bad. Timing for them, good, they think, anyway. So, I mean, think about that for a second. Recently, I was actually chatting with a CEO, a friend of mine, and we were talking a little bit about this whole idea of people and dealing with them. And he said to me, he said, you know, if I look at a person and I can ask myself a very simple question, is the issue I'm having right now motivation or skill? And he always figured that if he could figure one of those out, he was half the way there solving the problem that they were having at that point in time. Well, I thought that was really interesting, a little bit of a nugget, if you wish. So I guess you could say that we all have unique tendencies. And maybe, and that's what I'm sort of pointing out, you know, the whole idea that business would be fun if you didn't have to deal with people. And by the way, it is fun to deal with people, too, and interact with them. I'm joking around a little bit. And I guess, you know, and get back to this whole concept of tendency, the better we can understand people and the better maybe we can move forward in our businesses. Maybe it's better we can actually build relationships, you know, and managing leading people, it's hard work. You know, I don't know too many managers or too many business leaders who are in charge of staff members or run their own companies and, you know, don't ever say that, you know, working with people can be a real challenge. Sometimes we get a lot of fun, but sometimes it's a real challenge, right? So I'm curious, what does the research say about dealing with people, about maybe understanding ourselves and understanding others? And this is where I'm hoping to work with two experts today, Janice and Haley, co-founders of Coaching Insights. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks.
Yeah, and so I got one in studio, one on the phone. So Haley, so just do remember, you know, to stay with us, okay? No hanging up on us, okay?
All right. Yeah. Not a problem.
So why don't we start off with a very simple question, and I know my listeners know I like to ask this question to get going. Janice, we'll start with you. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, sure, Richard. So I am born and raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and spent the majority of my career in human resources and corporate services, working internationally. And recently, in about 3 years ago, I entered the world of becoming an entrepreneur, which I call my encore career.
Your encore career.
Yes.
So a little applause.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the focus of my work now is around executive coaching and emotional intelligence work.
Okay.
And I've had the opportunity to meet Haley when we were undertaking our executive coaching accreditation at Royal Roads University.
Okay, so Haley, that's a good lead-in for yourself.
Sure.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because, you know,
I'm in Saskatoon. I'm from Saskatchewan, from Uranium City, and I'm actually a professor of environmental economics.
Oh, okay.
Highly related to coaching.
Okay.
And so I've taught for many years, and I like to teach adults. Pardon me, I got a bit of a cold. And so a few years ago, I was really interested in learning new ways to teach and engage with students. And so that's where I met Janice at Royal Roads, and I use a lot of coaching through teaching, and then we do coaching and emotional intelligence through our work.
Through a lot of work like that. And mm-hmm. then you guys co-founded and formed Coaching Insights. So have the name right? Insight Coaching? Coaching Insights.
Coaching Insights, that's
okay.
Right.
And what is the main thrust of Coaching Insights, the work that you do?
Sure. So we do individual and team coaching, but also we go into organizations and teach them coaching skills and then work with them around deepening their emotional intelligence.
Okay. So that's a really big word. Mm. I mean, I'm going to jump right in the last word you said, deepening their emotional intelligence skills. So now I've got to ask, what is emotional intelligence?
Sure. Well, I'll keep it simple and let Haley jump in with a better description. We're talking common sense here. How do we interact with each other? How do you manage your emotions? Haley, what do you think?
I think you're right on point. You know, we go to school, we learn all kinds of skills, how to be doctors, lawyers, teachers, whatever. And we're very good at those skills. But what we find is that the people who succeed have other softer skills. We've heard them called soft skills before. And that is the ability to recognize their own emotions, to manage emotions, to work with other people successfully. So it's a whole other realm of intelligence that has been widely studied in the psychological literature, and it's really important for success.
Isn't there a debate though between IQ and EQ, and which is a better sort of indication of how successful somebody's going to be? Am I jumping in too early with that question?
No, I think that's. Oh, go ahead, Haley. I can tell you're excited.
It's a good point. It's often compared. IQ is somewhat set. You know, you can study as much as you want, and you're not going to become Einstein overnight. You're not going to improve your capacity to learn. However, EQ or EI, your emotional quotient, can be learned. And as we progress through time, there was a focus more on IQ as indicative of success and the ability to do the job. But research is showing that it's how we work with others, how we engage with people. And EQ can be learned. We can hone our skills. You can learn to be more flexible. And so it's really important in terms of business to be able to increase your EQ to increase performance.
Okay. So then I'm going to step back with a very common question regarding businesses, because if we're talking about increasing our emotional intelligence and getting better at working with people, mm-hmm. I would just put it into that context. What are the key challenges that a lot of businesses have that you notice when working with your clients?
One of the key challenges we're noticing is for a long time, organizations were planning for succession. They knew it was happening. And now what we're seeing is it is happening. And there's a lot of wisdom and corporate knowledge leaving the workplace. And we're asking our emerging leaders to step up and take on roles in a shorter time period than perhaps some of their predecessors.
Yeah, they might have had 20 years to work on their career and end up in that position. That's basically what you're saying, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what we like to do is help them strengthen their emotional intelligence, how they're going to take information in and deal with it at an emotional level so that they can be most effective.
Okay. So that's a common challenge right now. What other kind of challenges do you see that happens in organizations?
Haley, do you want to speak to some of the research around skills gap?
Yeah. Well, I'm teaching at the University of Saskatchewan, and I teach undergraduate and graduate students. And I've been doing this for 20-some years. And what I see is sort of a decrease in the skills around communication, teamwork, collaboration, those types of things that can be tracked by emotional intelligence. And so, you know, people are graduating from university or from wherever, and they have great skills, but they're not prepared to put those skills to the test with other people in the workforce.
You know what we're going to do, Haley?
Yeah.
It's a great thought, and we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I think we should dive deeper into that particular point. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Janice and Haley. They're co-founders of a company called Coaching Insights. And just before the break, we were talking a bit about postgraduate studies, and correct me if I'm wrong now, and the lack of skill development in the area of teamwork, communications, and collaboration. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're essential skills, and those skills are directly related to emotional intelligence. I think universities and other educational institutions do a great job of training people to do specific jobs, but students are coming out without these key essential skills and the ability to work in the workplace successfully. And so, you know, we often get people from industry coming in, and we say, you know, I'm an economist, we say, what skills do you most look for? And we expect them to say econometrics, statistics, And they always say the ability to communicate, to collaborate, and those types of things.
And to work with other people. It's interesting you would say that, because I get the privilege, and I mean it is a real privilege to interview all sorts of business leaders. And when I'm sitting down, and either on the show or in person in their offices, and most of them have war rooms, you know, they have these big whiteboard rooms and everything. And if you go in there, it's a communication room. It's a team-building room. It's a collaboration room. They're full of stuff all over the walls, but you know when they're in that space, they're applying the skills that you've just mentioned.
Well, I like to think that leadership is a human activity.
Okay, in what way?
Well,
we got to explain
that.
Yeah,
that's right. So,
not an inhuman activity; it's a human activity. But anyway,
so you know, there are requirements to run the business effectively.
Sure.
But part of being an effective leader is also being able to consistently develop your people and clear the way for that next generation of leaders to excel. So, effective leaders. When I look back at the leaders that meant the most to me, Richard, it's not really what they did; it's how they made me feel. And from that, I was able to get motivation and encouragement and move along my own professional development.
It's amazing how you use the word, how they make you feel, right? Mm-hmm. Because right away, you brought me to a space just with that word, where I used to have this boss by the name of Bill. And Bill Faulkner, he won't mind if I say his name, Bill, how you doing? But basically, he'd make me laugh every single day. And you know what? I love being around him just because I always had a good time. Still got stuff done. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead with your story in terms of impact and how people make you feel.
Sure. So it's a matter of, you know, I think everyone needs someone to believe in them. And everyone needs to be able to know that they've got another level within themselves to grow. Our experience is people are hungry for this sort of understanding. They're looking for validation in the workplace. They're looking to be better. And when you do find that a leader, working with a leader that is highly emotional intelligent, that's what you're getting. You can be more responsive.
So I want to clarify something. Or no, I want you guys to clarify something. Let me rephrase that. When you use words like highly emotional intelligence, so let's just take out intelligence out, highly emotional. Mm-hmm. So I want to dive into that just a little bit, because when I hear that, my first gut reaction is, oh, they're highly emotional. Mm-hmm. But that's not what you mean. So why don't we just sort of explain highly emotional first from your perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, what you don't recognize, you can't manage within yourself. So it's a matter of having an enhanced self-awareness.
Okay.
An ability to know how you manage information, how you interact with people, what sort of strategies you naturally go to, whether it's somebody who depends highly on information and maybe less on dialogue, maybe a leader who has high self-expression is always talking and not making room for someone else to talk. So it's those slight nuances and being able to manage those effectively.
Okay. And that's what you mean by the term that we just used. So I just wanted to clarify that. In terms of impact, and maybe Haley, I mean, I know you have the economic background you're mentioned, and or Janice, I mean, either one. Impact to business regarding people impact to business, is that a measurable, quantifiable item, like based on your EQ experience and stuff that you guys do? The other question is, in what way? So how do you measure the success, EQ success within an organization?
There's been so much research done on this, specifically with different groups, say salespeople, engineers, leaders per se, like CEOs and such. And this has been tracked. So you can actually measure turnover. You can measure satisfaction in the workplace. You can measure productivity and relate that to different emotional skills. You know, going back to what we just talked about, that word emotion is scary, right? We're not supposed to do anything like that at work. No crying. And that's not what emotional intelligence is. There's certain skills that allow us to function better.
Yeah, and I think that's really what we're talking about. So let's give some examples. Okay, so what are some of the, and maybe you already have, what are some of the skills that allow us to function better? Is that a good question to be asking? Go ahead, John.
Sure, I'll go off. So some of the research that, if we take engineering, for example, one would think that to make you a very effective engineer, you might have to be very skilled at managing data and how you're interpreting that data and planning. Well, of course, that's important. But every engineer has that. That's what they're trained to do. And that isn't what distinguishes one from being better from the other. What the research has said is it's the engineers that are the happiest and the most optimistic and that have the ability to continue to want to improve that are the most effective and most successful.
It sounds to me like you really cued into continually want to improve.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about that that's so important?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're constantly reaching. You're looking for self-actualization is the word,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And how do you actually want to make yourself better? And if you're constantly looking to make yourself better, you're constantly looking to make your output better.
When you say, I have to say, when you say self-actualization, the first thing I think about is Maslow.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. That's
right,
yeah.
At the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
With that thought in mind, maybe we'll have to explain what Maslow is when we get back or who he is. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we're going to take a short break. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with two coaching pros, Janice and Haley of Coaching Insights. Just before the break, I brought something up. So now I feel like somebody's got to explain it. I mentioned Maslow. Janice mentioned self-actualization. I think self-actualization is something that if we could all be in that space, it'd be a wonderful world. But I don't know what other people think about that. But I mentioned Maslow. So do you guys want to give like a brief explanation who Maslow is? No?
Yes. Sure. Haley, over to you.
Oh, thanks.
Are
we talking Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Yes,
hierarchy
yes,
of needs,
are.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be it. So we have to take care of our basic needs first, food, clothing, etc. And as you move up the scale, it sort of becomes more sophisticated. Ultimately, you need to be able to succeed and to achieve things. And so fulfilling those needs is more closely related with emotional intelligence.
Now, that's actually a really good way to put it in there, because one of the questions I have in terms of coaching how is coaching used in organizations today?
There's a mix. I think it's been used as part of the learning and development cycle, within the development piece. And sometimes it's used almost at the back end after a performance evaluation or a review. And what we have seen is where the organization positions coaching helps it to be most effective. If you're embracing coaching and building it throughout your organization as a value, as part of your culture, people are engaged in it. They want it. If it's coming at the back end at a performance evaluation, sometimes it's perceived as remedial. And coaching has come a long way in the last few years, and it's meant to be positioned as development focused.
Okay, so right at the front end, yeah. Identifying right up the front. So yeah. Then is that something you would do, if I use a term from, I guess, human resources, is that something you do in the onboarding process? You're at onboarding being you just brought in a new hire.
Yeah, you can start it there. You can start it, have it part of your culture, meaning let people learn coaching skills so that it's not just, it's good to work with external people, of course, Haley and I would always say that, but you need a bit of a mix. You need some external fresh views, and you also need to have people able to coach each other so that within the hallways, it's not a matter of just telling someone what they need to do next. It's helping them find out the way to do it in their own way.
So then the coaching model a bit more of a facilitated process?
It can be. And also people learn within organization that it's okay to engage in dialogue. Or people who are coaching others in organizations learn active listening skills. They learn how to ask questions and not always assume they have all the answers. So it does open it up for some growth for the organization.
So one of the things I see a lot is, you'll see coaches, right? Or them advertising and saying, I'm an executive coach. Mm. But is coaching really just for executives?
Definitely not. I think what we're seeing is that based on the research that Haley shared, people are looking for development right out of university, right out of school, and they need to be coached immediately. Why we wait until people are at a certain point in the pay scale or up the food chain doesn't really make much sense.
Doesn't make sense. What are your thoughts on that, Haley?
Yeah, I agree. I think everybody can benefit from coaching because you learn first about yourself, how to recognize what's going on with other people, and that can only help you to to communicate better and to manage your work. And, you know, we say executive coaching and life coaching and all these other kinds of coaches, but it comes down to that one individual. It comes down to helping that person achieve their goals, overcome barriers, and to develop and grow. Just out of the, this is kind of a funny story, just out of the blue, I had this guy call and he said, I need a dating coach. Can you help me? And I said, why not?
Why not? Sure.
Yeah. And so the questions, we ask questions, we listen, and we help people to do those same things. So it just depends on, you know, what you want to know, what you want to ask.
Yeah. Well, I guess you do, right? And you don't know what you don't know. So you have to sort of ask to find out. Does that make sense? Yeah,
does to me.
Good to say words on the radio. Nodding chins don't get anywhere.
Yeah.
Doesn't get anywhere. Yeah, let me use good English there too while I'm at it. I want to go back to impact. I'd asked you a question earlier on about impact the businesses. You know, keeping people, like turnover is expensive, right? I mean, it does cost an organization a lot. And one of the things you said is that coaching or understanding EQ actually helps minimize turnover. Is that what you were saying, Haley, when you were speaking about impact?
Yeah, there have been lots of studies that document worker satisfaction. If you're satisfied with your job and you can contribute, you're engaged, you're less likely to go find another job. And so what's the cost of replacing a dissatisfied worker? It can be in the thousands, sometimes, you know, quite substantial.
Hundreds of thousands,
so
yeah.
So through coaching, you can just reduce those costs alone.
Yeah. Are there any industries, I don't know if you're going to know this or not, but are there any industries that tend to be a little bit more struggling than other industries when it comes to using coaching or using executive coaching or business coaching in terms of making improvements and achieving their goals and objectives?
Yeah, there is. It's been interesting for us, of course, starting a new business. You do marketing in a certain way or to a certain group of people. And we found that the work is actually coming from the manufacturing sector,
okay.
Which I don't know why it surprised me, but it did. And what we found in order to anchor coaching within the manufacturing sector, we were able to build a coaching skills module into their project management training. And that project management training is already accepted by an organization of having value. And by adding the coaching skills module to it, we were able to introduce coaching in a way that we didn't really have to sell people on where to put it in the organization. And some of the research around the manufacturing side has indicated that lost time incidents has been reduced by half, grievances have been reduced by about 20%, and they've seen an increase in plant productivity. The number quota was $250,000 in revenue. So sometimes when people reflect about executive coaching, they're thinking about people at the C-suite.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. The executive suite. Yeah.
Yeah. And by going in and working with organizations that are right on the production floor, how to communicate with each other, they're seeing great results.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting you would say that because those are the people that are touching our touch points to other people on a day-to-day basis. Would that be an appropriate statement to make?
Absolutely. And typically you're seeing, you know, mid-level managers or intermediate level managers needing just to have a little bit more development around leadership. And coaching is one of the quickest ways for them to take something in and be able to transform it into an action.
Okay. Haley, now you've been really great about listening in there a little bit on the phone. In terms of impact, what kind of positive impacts have you witnessed for executive coaching, the work that you've been doing?
Well, I'll give you one specific example. I was teaching a graduate class, and the students had to do teamwork. And the team fell apart. There was it was a disaster. And so rather than using sort of remedial action, I brought them into the office, and I coached them through it. And just by asking questions, they were able to determine that they all had different goals to accomplish this assignment, yet they all did well, but they hated each other. And so once we got these things aired, they continued on to be a successful group. So you can see this working all over the place.
You can. And you know what? I do have a question coming out about the whole hating piece and how do you get around that. But in true form, I have to take breaks. So this is Richard Land for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Janice and Haley of Coaching Insights, and we've been talking a lot about emotional intelligence and executive coaching, and coaching being for everybody. One of the things that we did in the last segment, we started closing off, and I think, Haley, this sort of goes over to you. You were talking about with a team had each individual had very specific, different goals and objectives, and they hated each other. And I know that I've witnessed teams that hate each other, individuals that hate each other in my career, and I'm sure some of our listeners have also. So what do you do in that situation? I mean, that's a very tough situation when people say, I hate you.
It is. They come in with that emotion of anger, and if you're so fired up, you're not even going to be able to think straight. And so you got to calm people down, and what I like to do is allow each person to talk and find out what is at the core. Go beneath the surface and find out what people's beliefs are, their perceptions, and quite often you find out that they are incorrect. And so you allow people to sort of learn and explore each other. They don't have to like each other, but they have to reach a point of mutual respect. And understanding and communication is the first way to do that.
So I like the way that you use the terms mutual respect, because I think so many things, my wife and I often talk about this. We talk about our relationship. I've been with the same person for over like 30 years or more. And it's at a point now where it's all about trust, respect, and loyalty. Right. And so I'm sharing a little personal stuff here, but I find that applies in business, though, too. Right. I mean, those kind of key things are extremely important. Wouldn't you say so?
I would. You're describing core values.
Yeah. Okay.
And those values, when you're talking about values, those are things that you will not be compromised on. You might let a lot of things go, which movie you're going to go to, what you're going to have for dinner or whatever.
Insignificant stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's where we get hung up sometimes. Yeah. And it's when you can really identify those core values and stick to them, that's when you're able to really see some positive change.
What about it's an interesting question. What about when core values conflict, right? So two individuals or a group of people, they all have different core values. What is the impact of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you described it earlier when teams hate each other.
Yeah, well, I was just trying to get you guys to speak more about how people conflict.
Yeah. So you know, but the issue then becomes is what are the values together as a team? We can be individuals and we can have values as a team. And I think having that conversation about what those might bring people to a common landing space.
And that's quite interesting, because in the strategic planning world, often you're trying to figure out your values and your guiding principles, right? And then that hopefully penetrates down to the organization, to the team and the individual level. Can an individual and a team have different sets of values? So I have my set of values that I live my life by. But when I'm working with my team, we work with another set of values. Is that congruent?
You're right on. And through our work, we've done work with individuals around defining their core values and understanding their emotional intelligence. But when you get together as a team has its own emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Because you're not just dealing with the individual, you're dealing with the individual. You're dealing with the team. That team has to go out and work with other members across the organization. That team has to show some solidarity. And if you all bring your own emotional tendencies to that team, which is reality, chances are as a team you might be lacking in a few.
Okay.
Or stronger in others.
Yeah, yeah. So then you have to work on that. So it's almost like I'm just looking for easy words to put it into, like groupthink. You sort of have to come together and gel as a team, and that's the word that's often used. What about in areas of underperformance or underdevelopment in organizations? Are those two big challenges?
Sure. And a lot of times that I've seen when I've gone to coach within organizations is it often starts on the premise that somebody is underperforming, right?
Yeah.
And so then I ask the question, are they underperforming or are they just underdeveloped? And if they're underdeveloped, chances are it's in this area of emerging leadership. It's in this area of trying to know how to communicate effectively with people, collaborate with people, make effective decisions. And that's where we always start on the basis of emotional intelligence so people can understand their own profile.
So, okay, so that's if they're underdeveloped. If they're underperforming, What is the opposite to that? What does that look like?
Right. So, you know, if they are underperforming, chances are they need an additional skill.
Okay.
Right. And that then to me circles that they're underdeveloped in a particular skill.
Sure.
So you can develop them in skills, and you can develop them in being more emotionally intelligent, how to collaborate, how to be a critical thinker. And a lot of times, as we know, when people are coming to jobs, they've landed that job because they're technically strong. And they've got a, you know, an IQ that suits that purpose. And so it's this piece of how they can learn to massage and build better relationships with other people.
Okay. So it's the balance between hard skills and soft skills. Yeah. I'm going to simplify it. And a nice little circle. The wheel goes round and round and round. Haley, during the break, we were talking about success, about the future holds. What does the future hold in this whole space?
I think we're focusing more on emotional intelligence, and I think society in general is more open to being coached, to getting a coach, to recognizing emotional skills. And I think it's really important, because as the younger workforce meshes with the older workforce, you see some conflicts. You know, we talk about millennials and how they do things and how they communicate. We have to recognize that we do communicate differently, but if we're open about that and we can coach through it, I think that there's a lot to be learned and a lot to be gained.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of work to do within the generations itself. I remember, it's funny you would say coach through it and everything, and communication being really big. I remember reading a LinkedIn post where a baby boomer posted, you know, I just hired this young person and they never used the telephone, right? And they won't phone anybody. Like, how do I get them to phone people? And I'm like, did you ask them what other means of communication are they using? And meanwhile, they're texting and they're doing everything. I just thought it was a very interesting distinction between the two generations in terms of how do you connect with people.
Yeah, we see that at the university all the time. And I think, you know, professors don't get older. The students get younger, for sure. It's a lot about expectations. You expect them to act a certain way, and you don't realize that, you know, the times they are a-changing. And so if you can, all you have to do is articulate those expectations, and you can avoid all kinds of problems.
Yeah, I think it is a real challenge. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you guys, how would they go about doing that?
You can reach us through our website at coaching-insights.com, or feel free to call us on our toll-free number, 888-966-0747.
Right on. You know what? What a show we've been having. I've been just having a great time talking about this topic. It's one of those topics that I love. If you guys had a final thought for listeners, what might it be? What could you share? What's a nugget you could share?
Sure. Stay positive. We need people to be positive, and you can do this by enhancing your own self-awareness.
How about you, Haley? Do you have one for us?
Yeah, I think everybody should go out and get a coach or experience it. Try it once, because I think a lot of people don't know what it is and they would be thrilled at the results.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you would say that, because throughout my life I've had many coaches, from the first time I played softball as a child to being in Cubs and Cadets and Cub Scouts and Cadets doing that. I've had many coaches and even in the workplace. So I agree with you. There's times when you actually do need to engage somebody to help you through something. And I think some people have a challenge with that. You know what? Great topic. Emotional intelligence is a whole new space. Maybe it's been around for a while, but it's definitely an important, integral part of business and everything. So I got to thank you guys for joining me and talking to me about EQ and shedding some light on sort of the emotional quotient type thing. So thank you very much, you know, appreciate it. And listeners, I really appreciate hanging out too, tuning in. And remember just to send me a note, richard@setforsuccess.ca. That's richard@setforsuccess.ca. If you have a question, an idea for a show, a guest, just even a point of view you'd like to share. And of course, remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.